My name is Jason Doldane, and I'm the host of Reaching Roots, a podcast with a goal to make life easier for parents and families so they can reach further. We're talking to people who inspire us with their journey, tell us about the problems they are solving, and provide us insight that helps us and our children learn and grow. Every parent wants to understand their children, to unlock their potential and make them happy. Many parents fail to recognize that their kids have different ways. Gail Swift recognized this with her young children, that they work in a different way than she does. She describes these as, "I thrive on having a lot of things going on at once and work best under pressure. I brainstorm with my mouth and then see if it's a viable option. Noah, my oldest, needs to finish what he starts. He likes to have a plan before he begins, but if he's put in a room with kids that need the details and kids that want the big picture, he can find the middle ground and bridge the gap. Tyler, my youngest, doesn't need to finish what he starts, which can make chore time difficult, but excels at physical tasks. He's a natural with body language and can usually tell when someone is having a bad day. As a parent, you need to figure out your child's strengths and natural abilities. Identifying this helps them find an optimal path in life, find a career in which they will excel, and gives them the best chance to succeed." Gail Swift is a proven professional that helps parents find their children's unique natural abilities. She is a speaker, a certified life coach, and president of Plans to Prosper. In this episode, Gail talks to us about how every person is uniquely and perfectly capable of creative problem solving, and how our individual creative instincts are the source of mental energy to create our own pattern of taking action. Okay, welcome, Gail.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to finally be here.
Yeah, good to have you here too. So Gail, why don't you start a little bit by telling me a little bit about your background and how did you get to start Plans to Prosper?
I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome when I was 5 years old. My mom put me on Halidol and dopamine. Tourette syndrome is a neurological disorder, and it is cognitive. Neurological and cognitive. And so along with that, I had a hard time focusing in school, couldn't sit still, modern day ADD, ADHD.
Right.
Teachers weren't celebrating my randomness, Jason. It was kind of, it was hard to sit there all day. And honestly, it wasn't until I was, 17 years old, that my mom said, "You know what, Gail, we're going to get you tested in another capacity. We're going to get a Kolbe test done on you." And so that was the first time that I had heard of the word conative, which is the third part of the mind. It's how I do things. So on top of the Tourette's, I naturally ask a lot of questions and brainstorm. And that was the first time I had heard that the way that I did things was okay.
Interesting. And then how did that kind of lead to Plans to Prosper?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I was still a kid myself. And when I still have my results. And when I would go to work or when I would be in an environment where there was pain, and I wanted it to stop and I didn't know how to have it stop, I would shove my Kolbe report across the desk to my boss and say, "Make it look like this. Make my job look like this." And I didn't know how to articulate what that looked like.
Right.
So Kathy Kolbe has always held kids, youth, very close to her. And she has not let people work with youth until very recently. This all happens for a reason, in my opinion. When I had kids, my kids are now 14 and 16 years of age. And when they were young, I, of course, noticed that they solve problems differently than I did. And I thought, wow, I want to get a Colby test done on them. And they were like 1 in 3.
Right.
I had, at that time, I had to wait until they had a fourth grade reading level. Now I can work with 3-year-olds, which is so phenomenal. But at the time, I felt like I had to wait 100 years. And when I realized and recognized how they did things, they're born with a pattern, Jason. So when I found out what that pattern was, I then used that and went with the grain as to how they worked to get things done. And in this process, Plans to Prosper developed.
Right.
Because I thought, this is the key for me to unlock like energy. And there wasn't a lot of fighting. There wasn't a lot of arguing, or I wasn't banging my head against a wall as a mom trying to get my kids to do things.
Yeah.
That's how it started, was with my own family.
That's amazing. So let's go back to kind of your personal experience. Obviously, you know, as parents, we all kind of struggle with trying to parse whether it's just our kids being kids and maybe not listening and not wanting to do what we ask them to do, or maybe we've just got it wrong. And it seems like, you know, your mom, like, I guess, how did your mom figure that out and say, well, let's go do this, you know, Colby test? I mean, I never even heard of it actually until we started talking. So even just to have that kind of state of mind to say, well, maybe there's something else over here, is pretty interesting. So can you just talk to us about, like, how would you go about figuring that out?
You mean to even, like, how did she even know there was this in existence?
Yeah. And to be able to have the insight to say, well, I should go and look at something different.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really good question. She went to a National Network of Women in Sales meeting in Chicago, okay, which is where I'm from, the Chicago suburbs. And she went there and she heard a guest speaker, and her name was Ann Coulter. Her name was Ann Coulter. And so what Ann Coulter said at when she was at the speaking engagement was, I have a way to figure out how you work when free to be yourself. And for anyone that might be confused or wondering what direction they need to go in, or a relationship is struggling, this is a tool to help discover how someone takes action, because conative stress is like a sneaky stress. It's not so blatant like a personality. You're not like, oh my gosh, that I don't care for that person, or I do care for that person. And it's not an IQ thing. It has nothing to do with your IQ. So conative stress is like what I mean by sneaky is, for me, if I'm put in a rigid situation where I have to do things the same over and over and over again, over time, I mean, Jason, like weeks, I will get extremely frustrated because it's so rigid. And I am not able to use my freedom. So that rigidity, and if you picture a kid in school, it shows up in behavior.
Right.
It shows up as an irritable child. It shows up as temper tantrums more often than not, crying, frustrated. That's how it shows up. And so my mom knew that I was struggling. And so she thought this would be a way to help me get out of my struggle.
I understand that. Yeah. Kind of eye-opening that, you know, there could be a solution like this. So tell me, what is the Colby method? And I mean, it seems like a very difficult thing to figure out. So just kind of walk us through that.
It's a 36 question, especially for adults. It's a 36 question forced choice assessment. And meaning it is most likely or least likely. 36 questions you have to answer most likely or least likely. And what the test does is it puts you into a state of having to decide what to do when there's a problem. You have to decide what to do when there's a problem. There's no middle ground. You're either this way or you're that way in each question. And when you're done, out comes a 4-digit number. And each of those numbers deal with a mode of behavior and need in those modes.
Right.
You get that. Yeah. So that's kind of what it means. And based on that pattern, then is based on future success in your career.
Okay. Very interesting. So unpack for me, you know, in the intro, which I got from a lot of reading on the things that you've been doing, you know, we talk about this kind of concept of everyone's got kind of their unique problem solving ability. You know, we have our pattern of action and it's kind of our own pattern of action. Give us some kind of examples of what those could be and what does that really mean?
Do you want to know an example of a kid that is like with the school grain or against the school grain?
Maybe against the school grain. Let's try that.
Okay. So 70% of the teachers are made, they have one general MO. They have one way of working. 70% of the teachers have one way of working.
Yep.
I'm going to put a set of numbers out there. Let's just say it's 8822.
Okay.
For the simplicity's sake. So that means that teachers need the details and they need a plan and they minimize risk and they minimize hands-on. But that's a very quick overview of what that means. So Jason, let's say you have a child, your child. How old are your kids, by the way?
I've got a 13, 11, and 8.
Okay. And which one is least like school?
Least like school. Oh boy, probably the middle one.
The 11-year-old?
Yeah.
Let's say your 11-year-old, son or daughter?
Daughter.
Daughter. Let's say your daughter had an MO, that's a modus operandi, that's what the number's called, of a 2288.
Okay.
So let's say she was the exact opposite of a teacher. And remember, this has nothing to do with your IQ.
Okay.
So for your daughter, in this hypothetical situation, her MO would suggest that she doesn't need that much detail to make her best decision. She doesn't need a plan. She takes a lot of risk. She has a lot of ideas and she needs to get her hands on the world to make it a better place.
Okay.
Both MOs can get the job done. The path to get there is different.
Right.
So if you have a teacher, 70% of teachers are one way and you have a student that's the exact opposite, without addressing the difference, if she's put in a situation where she has to explain her answers, she has to sit there for hours on end without being able to get up, you can see where this is going.
Sure. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I think what you're pointing at is that kids, various different kids have different kind of abilities, right? And they're gonna flourish if we can unlock those abilities, you know, depending upon the child. But if I just take the school example, right? I mean, you know, here's a teacher that has to teach 30 kids in a class and has a lesson plan and likely, you know, and I talked about this on some other podcasts, and is likely going to figure out how to teach to the lowest common denominator so that she's working, or she or he is working, to bring the class up consistently at the same time. I mean, how do you then ask that teacher to do something different?
You don't.
Okay.
You don't. When I work with schools, it is about 1 in 4 or 5 teachers that come to me naturally,
yep,
and want to know this. But there is no way ever that I will go to a teacher and say, you have to do this, ever, yep, ever in a million years. When they come to me, and they usually vet me pretty hard, they're usually like, well, like they ask what you just did. Well, how do you expect me to do this with 35 kids, right? Yep. That's ridiculous. I can't do that. And I'm like, no, you're right. And I don't argue at all. I mean, absolutely not.
Okay.
And then if I come back, because I usually come back probably 3 or 4 times to schools. And so I go back and they'll start asking me more questions. Well, like, well, what would I have to do? Or what does this look like? Or, and I said, it's $1,000 for a teacher to get certified to use Colby in your classroom.
Yep.
Right. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, well, what does that look like? I said, well, it would look like they would all have lanyards on with their MO, like a grid. Like, I think you've seen the color grid.
Okay.
And they would wear lanyards with their strengths. And they would take them off the wall and put them on for your classroom.
Okay.
And when you give them an assignment, they would know, because I'm going to talk about this in your class, like today, that the red guys are the detail guys. So if you want detail, and then they learn to work together because that's what I teach.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, okay. So I said, that's what it would look like. Whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So maybe, then I go, yeah.
The teaching thing in school seems like it's a little more institutional and they may need some organizational. I mean, what would be your advice to parents, right? I mean, parents who are listening to this right now, I mean, what could they do and how can they figure out, you know, how they can do the best for their child?
So I have a son that his MO is a 2198. That's okay. The opposite of most teachers. In third grade, he came home and he felt stupid and he felt less than, and it broke my heart. The light went out of his eyes. Like, he was done. And I had him tested and I'm like, there's no way this kid's stupid. He's not stupid. I know that. And so we went in with the test to the teacher and we sat down together as a family and we brainstormed on what to do. Now that teacher, Jason, could have gone one way or the other.
Sure.
She was looking at Tyler. We were looking at Tyler and Tyler raised his hand and he said, I want to be the go-to kid. And she said, well, what does that mean? Well, I want to be the kid that fixes things. I want to be the kid that fixes the wobbly desk, that turns the clocks back, that changes the light bulbs. This was the point. She could have said yes or no.
Yep.
Right here. Like, this was it. This was a need of his to be the best student he could be. And she said, yes, you can do that. And when that happened, it flipped. It flipped for him in the classroom. They were working together. Thank God that happened. Thank God. And so every teacher has his report, but he's the one responsible. He is the one responsible ultimately to get what he needs, not the teacher.
Sure. So, you know, what are those steps though, right? So if there's a parent and they're recognizing that their child is having some challenges at school, and let's kind of assume that, you know, it is because there's kind of a misalignment between the methods and maybe what the child can flourish with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, are you suggesting that the first step really is to go and get that test?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah.
You're a believer in that particular methodology.
The one that I do?
The Kolbe methodology, right?
I sure hope I am. Yeah. So it would be the student aptitude quiz if you're at a fourth grade reading level. Okay. Student aptitude quiz and then an OpGig career assessment. Those two.
Got it.
With a built-in efficacy test in the SAQ, which will tell us if the student believes in themselves or not.
Okay. And then, all right. So first is like identifying what they are, and then the approach around, you know, going to the teacher and having this conversation, that's, I guess, one thing that that parents can actually do. What are some of the other things that parents could actually do once they understand what those are?
Honestly, Jason, it's kind of a big deal. Because if you've been parenting one way and all of a sudden, like, your eyes are open to how this child really needs to thrive, it's going to take a minute. All right. I'm just letting you know, there are tears. There are some struggles. It's kind of hard. It's hard because if parents have been doing things one way and it could shift, So they take the SAQ, they take the OpGig, they see how their child's wired, and we'll be able to tell if they're different from the school or not very easily. And if they are, let's just go with that. If they are different, And let's say I'm picturing a blue mode. I'm picturing a simple, simple thing you can do. If they have a short blue line, which is their need for organization, maybe having one folder for all their important things, as opposed to a folder for every subject, is a simple step that you can do. My son doesn't need to finish anything he starts. So if the parents are parents that have said, you need to finish what you start because that's the right thing to do. You need to follow through on your commitments. And I agree. I get it. I agree with that. But so if you have a kid that doesn't need to finish anything, and then you are saying that, it's going to be a constant fight. So then my work with the parents is, what is super important to you? What are all 10 things important, right? Like, what could you release the grip on so he or she can try it out, right, and have some autonomy and make some decisions?
Right.
So that's kind of how it starts.
Yeah. Like give them the room to experiment with different things.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. So Gail, tell me, you know, as you've been doing this, what kind of challenges have you kind of run across with parents or trying to really kind of get, you know, your message out there?
Challenges?
Yes.
At a kitchen table, if the family's there, I've had parents say, our kids rule the roost.
Okay.
Like that's just, and that is the way it is. And that's just the way it is. And that's not going to change. And I'm like, okay, like that's fine. You brought me in here to identify some things. And at the end of it, they're realizing who's in charge and who's not.
Right.
So that's a super interesting realization. And I would say a challenge is it's hard for parents to release the grip. It's hard to give the kids freedom. And I've noticed that they, obviously parents don't want to see kids struggle.
Right.
And it is in the struggle, Jason, where the beauty happens. If you picture a balloon full of confetti,
yep,
full, tight, full of confetti, and it's coming down to earth and it's about to pop, and the parents put their hand under the balloon to protect it. But it's only when it pops that you see what it's made of. That's the biggest problem.
Right. Interesting. So, you know, as you've kind of gone through this, obviously you've had various experiences with parents. How has any of this kind of changed you? Have you kind of had a little bit of a transformation yourself?
Absolutely. I have. Oh my goodness. Yes. I thought my way of working was the best way. And I thought everyone needed to do things the way I did them because they would be efficient and fast and good. And I actually used to think that people that took a long time to decide were like worse than me. So what I did was I would judge conative innate behaviors in people because I did not know about them. I was ignorant. And now that I'm in it and I see differences, I respect the differences a heck of a lot more and believe that everybody is capable and that recognizing and knowing the differences for me has been the key to unlocking potential in a ton of people. And I love that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's great. Tell me, is there one feeling, and I asked this to various guests, is there one feeling you have as a mom that you would rather not feel?
Regret. I would rather not feel regret. Yes.
Okay, about what?
I would make my kids, before I knew about their gifts, Jason, I did the same thing to them that I did to adults. And I would have them, I would make them with my words and my face feel bad about the way they did things because it wasn't my way.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's pretty powerful if we can figure out and recognize that and be aware of it ourselves, because that's, I guess, step one out of all the other things that we have to do. pretty amazing. So tell me, you know, if parents wanted to kind of like take this next step, right? And, you know, they recognize that, you know, maybe our ways are not the right ways, and maybe they are, but others have methods that are as right as ours. What should they do?
Please reach out to me.
Okay.
Please reach out to me so I can help you at my email, gail@plans2prospercoaching.com.
Okay. And your website is?
Plans2prospercoaching.com.
Plans2prospercoaching.com. Great. So before we kind of close, what's your hope for the audience that you kind of serve?
For every single 15-year-old on the planet to know how they work when free to be themselves.
Okay. So they know who they are, and they're doing great things.
They know who they are, and they know where they're going.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Gail. I appreciate you you being here today.
Thank you, Jason. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We would really appreciate if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us any feedback to reachingroots@wishslate.com. Also, download the Wish Slate app to help organize wish lists for your family and change the way you gift. You can download this from www.wishslate.com/download.